Yesterday we observed that the human individual is a microcosmic specimen of the entire creative process of the cosmos. The layers or degrees of reality which constitute the composition of the universe of creation are also to be found in the human individual in the form of the koshas or the sheaths as they are called, the physical, vital, mental, intellectual and the causal, known in the Sanskrit language as annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. These are the five layers of objectivity, which in a gradational form externalize consciousness. The grosser the sheath, the greater is the force of externality. So that when consciousness enters the physical body, we are totally material in our outlook, physical in our understanding and assessment of values, intensely body conscious, and know nothing about ourselves except this body. It is only when we go interior that we have access to the subtler layers of our personality, not otherwise. The Taittiriya Upanishad dealt with this subject of the five layers known as the koshas. And the Mandukya Upanishad, which is another important Upanishad, sometimes considered as most important, deals with the very same koshas in a different way, namely by way of the elucidation of the involvement of consciousness in these koshas. The five have been classified into three groups: the physical, the subtle and the causal. In the waking state in which we are now, for instance, the physical body is intensely operative and we always think in terms of physical body, physical objects and physical sensations. This physical sensation is absent in the state of dream. But three of the koshas operate in dream. In the waking condition, all the five are operative, concentrating their action on the physical body mostly. In the dream state, the physical body is not operative, but the vital, the mental and the intellectual sheaths are active. The prana is there, the mind is there, the intellect also is there in a diminished intensity. You breathe, you think and you understand in the state of dream. That means prana, manas and buddhi all are active in the state of dream, minus the physical element, namely the body consciousness. In the state of deep sleep, none of these are active. Neither the body is operative there, nor the mind, nor the intellect, nor there is any consciousness that we are even breathing. The consciousness is withdrawn entirely from all the sheaths, physical, vital, mental and intellectual. there is only one sheath that is operating in the state of sleep, that is causal sheath, as they call it, Anandamaya Kosha in Sanskrit. In the waking condition, senses are very active, physically, materially. The Mandukya Upanishad tells us that we enjoy, we experience, we contact things in 19 ways in the waking state. Consciousness has 19 mouths through which it eats the food of objective experience. What are these 19 mouths? The 5 senses of knowledge. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. With these 5 sensations, we come in contact with things in the world outside and enjoy them. With actions and reactions produced thereby, by means of such a sensory contact. These 5 mentioned are called senses of knowledge. Jnana Indriyas. They are so called because they give us some sort of knowledge, either of sight or sound or taste or smell or touch. Apart from these 5 senses of knowledge, there are 5 organs of action. They do not give us any independent knowledge, but they act. The hand that grasps is one organ of action. The speech that articulates words is another organ of action. The feet that cause locomotion or movement are also organs of action. The generative organ and the excretory organ also are 2 of the active elements, organs of action. They act, but they do not give any new knowledge. Whatever idea, knowledge, experience, etc. you may have, through any one of these organs of action, comes through the sensations already mentioned, namely the jnana indriyas. Even when the organs of action act and you are conscious that they are acting, this consciousness is available only through the jnana indriyas and not separately through the organs of action. They do not give the additional knowledge. It looks as if we have some sensation even through the organs of action, but actually it is not so. The sensation, the experience of the action of the karmendriyas, as they are called, arises on account of the simultaneous action of the jnana indriyas or senses of knowledge. So these 5 senses of knowledge and 5 organs of action make 10 mouths of consciousness. Then there are 5 pranas. The prana or the vital energy in us operates in 5 ways. When we breathe out, expel breath, the prana is active. When we breathe in, when we inhale the breath, the apana is active. The vyana is the 3rd form of the operation of this energy, which causes circulation of blood and makes us feel a sensation of liveliness in every part of the body because of the operative action of the bloodstream, which is pushed onward in a circular fashion throughout the body by the action of a particular function of prana called vyana. There is another action of the prana, which is udana. It causes the swallowing of food. When you put food in the mouth, it goes inside through the epiglottis. And it is pushed down by the action of a prana called udana. Udana has also certain other functions to perform. It takes you to deep sleep. Your jiva consciousness, your individualized consciousness is pushed into a state of somnambulism, sleep. That also is the work of udana. Udana has also a third function to perform, namely the separation of the vital body from the physical body at the time of death. Three actions, three performances are attributed to udana. And there is another fifth one, samana, which is operating through the navel region and causes digestion of food. It creates heat in the stomach and through the in the navel region. And the gastric juice operates and you feel appetite, hunger is caused, food is digested by the action of the samana. So there are five prana, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. So five senses of knowledge, five organs of action, five pranas make 15. There are four functions of this psychic organ. The internal psyche, which you generally call manas or mind in ordinary language, has four functions. In Sanskrit, these four functions are designated as manas, buddhi, ahankara and chitta. Manas is ordinary indeterminate thinking, just being aware that something is there. That is the work of the mind. That is manas. Buddhi determines, decides and logically comes to conclusion that something is such and such a thing. That is another aspect of the operation of the psyche, buddhi or intellect. The third form of it is ego, ahankara, affirmation, assertion. I know that there is some object in front of me. And I also know that I know. I know that I am existing as this so and so. This kind of affirmation attributed to one's own individuality is the work of ahankara, known as egoism. The subconscious action, memory, etc., are caused by chitta. It is the fourth function. So, manas, buddhi, ahankara, chitta. These are the four basic functions of the internal organ, the psychological organ. So, you have five senses of knowledge, five organs of action, five pranas, and four operations of the psyche, totally 19. These are the mouths through which consciousness grasps objects from outside. And we feel secure and happy because all these 19 things are acting at the same time in some form or other with more emphasis or less emphasis. Anyone can act at any time under special given conditions. And inasmuch as anyone can act at any time, it is virtually saying that all are acting at the same time. So we are objectively conscious through the 19 operative media of the individual consciousness in the waking condition actively. We are aware of this vast world of sensory perception and we go on contacting these objects of the world through this media. It is also mentioned in this connection that we can conceive this form of perception in a cosmic way. Cosmic consciousness can be conceived to be operating in this manner in a cosmic waking condition. in the same way as we are individually conscious of objects in this waking condition of ours, in a similar manner we can conceive that the universal consciousness is awake to the world of daylight. The whole universe is the object of the consciousness of a consciousness in a manner similar to an individualized, circumscribed world becoming object of our individual consciousness in waking state. This waking state of ours is called Jagrat Avastha, Jagrat Sthana. Technical words are used which you may remember or you may not remember. For instance, Vishva is the word that is used to designate consciousness in the waking individualized state. Our consciousness, Jiva Tattva, this individuality of ours at this moment of waking, is called Vishva, some name. This very waking world of universal expanse in space and time, animated by a universal consciousness, is called Vaishvanara or Virat, is the word used sometimes. There is a consciousness pervading all things, as you know already. If this consciousness, which is universal and is hidden behind all things, is to be aware of the whole cosmos, as you perceive in your waking condition, that cosmic waking awareness of the whole universe may be regarded as Virat Tattva, cosmic consciousness of the whole physical world, entire cosmos of physicality. You have heard that Sri Krishna manifested the Virat Swarupa before Arjuna. In the Purusha Sukta also some sort of description we have about the cosmic being conceived as animating the whole physical cosmos. By physical cosmos we have to understand here not merely this earth, but all the layers of externality which are computerized, as it were, into 14 categories, known in Sanskrit as Bhulok, Ghorlok, Swarlok, Maharlok, Janalok, Tapolok, and Satyalok, the whole cosmos. In all the levels of its manifestation is at once an object of the awareness of this cosmic being. Such an awakened, waking state, as it were, of the cosmic consciousness is Virat, also known as Vaishvanara in the language of the Upanishads. Individually, the microcosmic aspect of this Virat is Vishva, your own or my own waking experience as it is available just now, for instance. So through 19 mouths, we experience objects of the world in this waking condition, and we can conceive for our own intellectual satisfaction that the universe operates also in this manner, and God consciousness imagined to be operating through this waking condition everywhere is an expanded form of our individualized consciousness. While we in our waking state know only certain things, God as the universal consciousness knows all things at the same time. This is briefly a description of consciousness involved in the waking state. The total physical perception in which the consciousness is involved is the objective world of waking state of consciousness. In the dream state, something else happens. The actual physical world, which is seen, contacted through the sense organs in the waking state, is absent. But it looks as if it is present even in the dream state by an action of the mind. Without the assistance of the gross senses and the organs of action which are active in the waking condition, the mind alone concocts, imagines, projects a world of its own in the dream state, and you see a world in dream. You are existing there in the same way as you are existing in the waking state. You can see yourself now seated here, etc., in the waking state. In a similar way, you can see yourself seeing certain things in the dream state also. There is a dream me in the same way as there is a waking me. And there is a dream world. You are seeing all sorts of things in the waking state, mountains, rivers, sun, moon, stars, and people of all kinds. All that you can see in the dream world also. There is space, time and externality in dream as we have also in the waking state. The difference between the waking and the dream being that the mind has created this entire world of external cognition and perception of its own accord without the assistance of externally existing physical objects or the physical sensations. There also 19 mounts are operating. You have a dream eye, dream ear, dream nose, dream tongue, that is, dream touch, and dream legs, dream hands, dream organs of every kind. You run in dream with legs, you eat a good meal in dream, you can even live and die. Even that experience is possible in dream. One can feel that one is born, or one can feel that one is dead. One can observe one's own cremation in dream. All kinds of fantastic things can be experienced in dream. A new world is projected by the mind. Space, time, causation, objects, people, all blessed things, they are in the dream world. Because the psyche is operating through the vital energy, the mind and the intellect in a diminished form, not in active way. Only difference in the physical body is not there as an object of awareness. Sometimes people sleep with open mouth. If you put a few particles of sugar on the tongue of a sleeping man, he will not feel the taste of it. Because his mind is withdrawn. The mind is the main operative organ which causes sensations of seeing, hearing, tasting, etc. Even the ego is very active in dream. If somebody calls you either in dream or sleep by a name that is not yours, you will not listen to it, you will not wake up. If John is sleeping and he is called as Jacob, he will not wake up. John must be summoned as John only. That is, the ego is so very intensely identified with this particular name form complex that it is active even there in a submerged condition of dream and sleep. So, the 19 mouths of the waking condition are psychologically projected by the mind in the dreaming state also. There also you have all these experiences. Every blessed thing as you have in the waking state. The Mandukya Upanishad is a study of these states. It is said that if you understand the Mandukya Upanishad properly and its implications, you need not read any other Upanishad afterwards. Mandukya mekamevalam mumuchunam vimuktaye. For the sake of the liberation of the soul, one Upanishad is sufficient. Mandukya Upanishad, provided it is understood properly in its deep connotations. You should not just read it only by way of understanding of the world meaning of it. The suggestion given by the Mandukya Upanishad is to take your consciousness deeper and deeper into the very root of your personality, from external sensations, from body, etc., to what you really are in your deepest essence. Now, so much about waking and dream. There is a third state called sleep, where not only you are not aware of the body, but even the psychological functions are not there. The mind does not think, the intellect does not decide, and you do not know that even you are existing. Your existence itself is abolished, as it were, nothing. It is a nothing of which you are not even aware that it is a nothing. To be aware that it is a nothing is something, but you are not even aware that it is a nothing, it is pure nothing, unadulterated. But what is happening there? Are you dead? No. Very much alive. Who told you that you are alive in sleep? Then it was a nothing, and your awareness was totally obliterated by something. You are totally oblivious of all things happening there. When you did not know that you were even existing, how do you come to the conclusion that you were alive at that time? Nobody told you. You yourself conclude that I am the same person now that I was before I slept yesterday. Therefore I conclude there that I must have been existing in sleep. Today I am not another person. I am the same person that I was yesterday. Therefore I must have existed in sleep. But how do you know that you are the same person? You may be another person. Every day you can change and become somebody else. This does not happen. A continuity of consciousness is maintained between yesterday's experience and today's experience. Is this not interesting and surprising? You are very certain, cocksure, that you are the same person today that you were yesterday, and your consciousness is continuing through even the sleep condition, making you feel that you are existing today in the same way as you existed yesterday. That is to say, you did exist in the state of deep sleep. The proof of it is only your conviction that you are the same person today as you were yesterday. You have a memory of having slept. Now, if consciousness must have existed in the state of deep sleep, you must have existed as consciousness only. You did not exist as a body, mind, intellect, or anything else. You did not know even the act of breathing at that time. You did exist as consciousness only. So, do you believe that your essential nature is consciousness? Because minus all these appurtenances of body, mind, intellect, etc., if you can exist nevertheless, why should you imagine that you are the body, mind, intellect, etc.? If I can exist minus something, that thing out of which, from which I am withdrawn, is not me really speaking. If I can be safe without something, that something is redundant. So, body is a redundant thing, mind, intellect also are not yourself. You are pure, Shuddha Chaitanya, as they call it, pure consciousness. In that state you existed. There is no other thing which can be regarded as an attribute of your being at that condition, in that condition. Consciousness was your essential nature. What were you conscious of? Conscious of nothing. It was conscious of consciousness only. It was a consciousness of existence about which you have had something to listen some time back. It was not a consciousness of something. It was a consciousness of consciousness existing. You were aware that you were aware, that's all, nothing more than that, nothing more, nothing less. It was being consciousness. And you were very happy, therefore it was bliss also. You know how happy you are after having gone into a good sleep. Oh, how happy you rub your eyes and would like to continue the sleep a little more. So, free that you were in sleep, that you would like to go to sleep again. All the botheration, turmoil of this world is no more there. Let me go to bed. Forget the devil of this world. We feel sometimes like that. So in the state of deep sleep, we existed as pure consciousness which was. Sat Chit Ananda was your real nature in the state of deep sleep. This consciousness which is Sat Chit Ananda was not merely inside the body. As you may wrongly imagine, once again, even after having deduced this wonderful conclusion that you are pure consciousness. Wonderful conclusion indeed, that you are essentially pure consciousness. But again you may commit a mistake of thinking that inside the body. Pure consciousness is not inside anything, it is all things. We have already concluded in the earlier sessions that consciousness is all-pervading, it cannot be confined to one individuality only. To be conscious that it is only in one place and not in another place is to accept virtually that consciousness in another place also. Otherwise, how would consciousness know that it is not in some other place unless it has already been there? So the negation of consciousness in some other place is actually an affirmation of it in that place. Negation is determination. Therefore, what is the second conclusion that you draw by this analysis? That in the state of deep sleep you existed as pure consciousness, not a little consciousness inside the body, but a pervading consciousness which is everywhere. Cosmic consciousness was there. Universal consciousness was your essential nature in deep sleep. But why is it that you are not aware of such a condition? You come up like a fool, as you went also like a fool to the state of deep sleep. When you wake up, you don't come like a wise person. Same idiot went, same idiot comes back. What is the matter? In spite of these wondrous conclusions, there is a peculiar operation which is catching hold of us. The impression and the impact caused by this operation is the reason why we come up like fools, though it appears that we were not really fools. We had passed through various lives, we have taken many births. This is one link in the long chain of the births that we have undergone, maybe thousands in number. In every birth, we think something, feel something, do something. And every thought, every feeling, every action creates an impression in the psyche. The psyche is nothing but the individualized center of consciousness. This impression is nothing but a remnant of a desire remaining after a particular experience. If you see something, you would like to see it again. If you like something, you want to continue that liking again and again as much as possible. The like and dislike, so-called, which is the basic operation of the mind of an individual, creates an impression in the mind, a groove as it were, and creates a propulsion in the psyche to repeat that experience already had earlier. This goes on day after day, every day. And you pile up impressions one over the other, so that these impressions heaped in that manner one over the other become something like a thick cloud covering our consciousness. This happens in one life, but if many lives are taken in this manner, what would happen? Completely darkness, like an eclipse of the sun, or an utter midnight-like experience when there is monsoon season, even in the waking condition, even in daytime. This thing is weighing so heavy upon us that it does not permit us to be aware that we were aware in the state of deep sleep. So the transcendental being that we really are in the state of deep sleep is almost a negation of our existence because of the heavy weight that is sitting upon us. Suppose I give you a very good lunch, very tasty, and 5 quintals of heavy weight keep on your head at the same time. Will you enjoy that food? Very tasty thing. But the 5 quintals on the head, unless that is removed, this eating has no meaning. So this experience of a transcendental awareness of your true nature in the state of deep sleep does not have any signification for you on account of the heavy weight of karma potentials, which compel you to think only in one way, in a stereotyped fashion, like with blinkers as it were, and you cannot think in any other way. Any number of lives you may take, births and births you may pass through, you are the same person, you do not become different, because you are whipped by the desires which have produced those impressions earlier. And as a horse being whipped by a stronger man and compelled to move in one direction only, we are forced to think in only one way, in one way, this space, this time, this causation, this object, this person, this me, this somebody else. The Mandukya Upanishad gives this analysis of our basic nature. But it is said that we will attain moksha by knowing this knowledge. Mandukya mekame valam mumuchu nama mutaye. How would you get moksha by knowing this? It was also added that you are the same foolish person. You have never become a different one. This foolishness of yours can be removed by gradual practice of yoga. The suggestion of a particular kind of yoga that is made by the Mandukya Upanishad, the recitation of pranava or omkara. It has a simple way, a very easy means of meditation to tell you. No complicated thing. Recitation of pranava. Om is the pranava or the omkara, which is a blend of 3 syllables, letters, a, u, m, like that. Aum becomes Om. When you chant Om, when you articulate your vocal organ in the recitation of Om, all the parts of the vocal organ act simultaneously in such a way that they may be supposed to be uttering every letter at that time. All language is supposed to be included in Om because of this reason. All the articulatory process takes place in the recitation of Om, if we can properly observe it. The Vishwa, as I mentioned, is the name given to the waking consciousness. Dreaming consciousness is called Taijasa. The sleeping consciousness is called Prajna. The transcendental consciousness is the Atman. So Vishwa, Taijasa, Prajna and Atman are the designations of the very same consciousness involved in the physical body and physical sensations, involved in dream perception, involved in sleep, and not involved in anything existing as transcendent. In a way, the letters of the mantra Om, A, Uma, are identified by the Mandukya Upanishad with these three states. I is waking, who is dreaming, Ma is sleeping, and Om is Atman. Om is the name of the ultimate reality. Tasya Vajaka Pranava, says Patanjali in his sutra. Name of God is Om. He has no other name. As God is all pervading, his name also should be all inclusive. You don't call him Kaka, Gaga, IABCD. It is an inarticulate, universalized vibration. It is not actually a letter or a word, but a vibration. Om is to be chanted for the sake of the removal of the dross accumulated in our psyche in the form of impressions of past karmas. Merge waking in dream, merge dream in sleep, and merge sleep in Atman. Draw the consciousness gradually from waking to dream. That is to say, draw it from the waking body consciousness to the psychological consciousness, from that to the sleep consciousness. How do you do this? In the beginning, you have to be seated in a suitable posture and slowly articulate this beautiful name of God, which is Om or Pranava. The scripture says that in the beginning Vedas did not exist. Eka eva pura vedaha pranava sarva vangmayaha, says the Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana. In the Krita Yuga, the golden age as you call it, Vedas did not exist. Only Pranava existed. That religion also was not Hinduism, Christianity, etc. Hamsa is the name of the religion of Krita Yuga. Hamsa means just love of God. It is not love through some ism. This community, that community and all that. No communities existed in Krita Yuga. It was total man, loving total God. And Om was considered as inclusive of all the three Vedas. From Akara, Ukara, Makara, Prajapati is supposed to have extracted Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda. And the three padas of the Gayatri Mantra are supposed to be extractions of the three Vedas. And the three padas of the Gayatri Mantra also are supposed to be embedded in Aum, so that all the Veda is inside Om. All the three Vedas. So to practice this meditation according to the Mandukya Upanishad, be seated properly, without distraction, and chant. Take a deep breath and then chant. Inside home like this, don't you feel a sense of satisfaction inside? In few seconds, you feel the difference. You feel as if you are a different person altogether. You are not the same body. You are not even aware of that body even for 2 seconds. It was melting as it were, gradually melting. Every day practice this stand for 15 minutes. In the morning and evening. You will feel as if the body is melting. Actually, physically it may not melt. The sensation of melting will arise on account of the withdrawal of consciousness from the body. It will withdraw itself from even the mind. and it will withdraw itself from even your personality consciousness. By the chant of Om only you can enter into the bliss of the Atman, is the teaching of the Mandukya Upanishad. All yogas are combined in this. So you do this practice yourself. When you are alone somewhere, under the tree or under the Ganga or anywhere in the temple or in your room, wherever you are, sit for a few minutes and chant in the same way as I told you, with a sonorous sound, beautifully, calmly, creating an equilibrated vibration in your personality. You will forget all your worries. You will feel happy inside. You will feel a tinkling sensation in the body, as if the consciousness slowly getting withdrawn from body. This is the practice of the yoga of the Mandukya Upanishad. Suffice it for today. Hari Om Tat Sat.